Deuteronomy 24 and the 8th verse. We're going to read verses 8 and 9 right now. Take heed in the plague of leprosy, that thou observe diligently, and do according to all that the priest, the Levite, shall teach you, as I commanded them, so ye shall observe to do. Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam by the way, after that ye were come forth out of Egypt. This plague of leprosy, we're going to look at that for a little bit. This word here, it says, take heed in the plague of leprosy that thou observe diligently. This word, heed, it means guard, keep, or be circumspect. I would like to turn to Ephesians 5:15. This is very important, to be circumspect. I would like to begin with the 9th verse, Ephesians 5, and the 9th verse. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then means to take heed that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. This circumspectly here means accurately, or according to the word of God. And this is what Moses is instructing the second generation. When they get into the land in regarding leprosy, you are to walk accurately and according to the instructions that God has laid out. This observe diligently here in the 8th verse also, observe here has the same thought as take heed, guard, keep, be circumspect. Diligently means with vehemence, vehemently, moving with great force or passion. In regards to the plague of leprosy, they were to vehemently move with force or with passion regarding someone that has leprosy. It was not a light thing. And in the rest of this 8th verse, and do according to all that the priests, the Levites, shall teach you, as I commanded them, so ye shall observe to do. Now the Lord was extremely specific in these instructions, and we'll look at these instructions here in a bit. But they were given to the priests, the Levites, in regarding how to deal with the plague of leprosy. A couple of weeks ago, as we ended the lesson, we were talking about the issues. Mom made two statements, and I wrote them down, and we're going to talk about one of them tonight. She made the first statement. We were, as I said, speaking of the issues in Leviticus 15. The issues show in type the frailties of the body. These issues make us unclean, but it's a part of the body. It's just part of the way the Lord made the body. Then leprosy shows in type the confirmed old creation. Think about that. Leprosy shows in type the confirmed old creation, and this is what we're going to look at tonight. Leprosy speaks of sin, not the nature of sin, but the outbreaking of sin, or the practice of sin. Sister Bodie, in her book on Leviticus, has some really wonderful notes regarding this chapter, which we'll be looking at. It's the 13th chapter of Leviticus. She said, the disease of leprosy, and this is speaking of the disease, not as a type of sin here. She's talking about the disease. The disease of leprosy is the most defiling and subtle, so slight in its beginning, but so relentless and tenacious in its grasp, so fearful and devastating in its ravages of its victims, so destructive in its end. Leprosy is a fit type of the loathsomeness of sin. There is nothing more loathsome than leprosy, the disease. and it is a fitting type of sin in practice. Leprosy is a type of sin actually being carried out. It figures it in the following ways, and we have scriptures to go along with these. Its invasion is subtle. As a disease, its invasion is subtle. But think of it as in sin. Sin can be subtle too. Oh, this won't hurt. If I do this, it won't hurt. Which leads to something else, which leads to something else. Let's turn to Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3, I would like to read the 13th verse. Well, we'll begin with the 12th. Hebrews 3, 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart, or evil in action, evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The Lord brought to me James, the first chapter, and this is what sin is. It's very subtle. James 1, and I would like to begin with the 14th verse. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So sin is very subtle. We let down in one area, we'll just begin to let down in other areas. Pretty soon, sin will be sin in practice. Another point regarding the disease of leprosy and in regards to sin also, it pollutes its victims. Let's look at 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2, and I'd like to begin with the 18th verse. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Another point of regarding leprosy, not only the disease, but as a type of sin, is contagious. It is very contagious. It is also another point, it is incurable. The disease leprosy is incurable. Scientists have not gotten a cure for it. But on the spiritual side, God can cure that. Now, another point of the disease of leprosy and as a type of sin, it severs human relationships. When one became a leper, they had to leave their family and go to a place designated for lepers. They could not be around well people. The lepers had to be with lepers. Let's look at 1 John 1. And this speaks to us too. It's very necessary that the lepers stay away from us. We don't keep company with them. And this is how. 1 John and the first chapter. And we'll begin with the 6th verse. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, or we partake of the world, we lie and do not the truth, or practice not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That is what our fellowship is based on. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's as we walk in the light, and we walk in the new creation, we see each other in the new creation. That's where our fellowship is. We can't see someone in the old creation and have fellowship with them. Because there's as 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, there's no communion, there's no partnership, there's no participation. It's very, very important that we walk in the light. Another thing about not only the disease, but leprosy as a type of sin, it is seen. It is seen. If a person has the disease leprosy, it's seen on the outside. Well, the same way when we walk in sin, it's going to show. It's going to show in the facial features, in the way the body reacts. I know of a man that was 42 years old, and I would have swore he was 70 because of the life he lived. He lived in sin. His body showed it. Another thing about leprosy as a disease and as a type of sin, it brings shame and it brings disgrace. Not only to those around, think what it does to the Lord Jesus. When we walk in sin, it brings him disgrace. Think of what he paid to buy us out of that sin market. And then for a saint to go back and walk in sin. And ultimately, there'll be death. A person who has the disease of leprosy will ultimately die. And that's the same way in the spiritual too. No, we'll never lose our salvation. But we won't have the close place that we could have had with the Lord. Sin in practice is the result of not counting the flesh dead. Let's turn to Romans 6. Romans 6, and I would like to begin with the 6th verse. This is what Jesus did. He put the old creation down in the grave. He became sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Jesus became sin. He actually became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He became sin. Think of that. He did this at the cross. This is where we need to identify with. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man, now remember, each one of us here tonight have the same old man. I heard a statement today, I'm really a good person. I've heard this time and time. Oh, well, he's a really a good person. They're really a good person. I'm sorry, there is none righteous, no, not one. Unless we're a new creation, we have nothing good about us. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Since if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon. See, we have to reckon. The work's been done, but we have to reckon. Ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now let's turn to Colossians 2. We'll begin Colossians 2, and we'll begin with the 11th verse. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith or the circumcision or the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Remember back in Abraham in Genesis 17, Abraham could not be fruitful until that profane, unclean flesh circumcised. It was after he was circumcised that he had Isaac. The spiritual fruit came after circumcision. Now we each have two natures within us. It's up to each one of us. Which nature are we going to allow? It's got to be one or the other. We can't have one foot walking in the old creation and one foot walking in the new creation. It's got to be, we have to make a choice. Are we going to allow the new creation to live and to reign in us? Or are we going to allow the old creation to have its sway and to pull us down and cause us to lose what is before us? Now let's look at Leviticus 13. Now these instructions were given to Moses and unto Aaron in Leviticus 13. This whole chapter is regarding leprosy. And I tell you what, the notes that Sister Bodie had on this, she has some good notes on it. We're not going to do the whole chapter because we're in Deuteronomy. But we're going to read the first three verses of Leviticus 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priests. Notice who the one making the judgment is. It's a spiritual priest. Let's look over at 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, and I would like to begin with the 14th verse. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually or divinely discerned, or they're divinely or spiritually investigated or searched out. But he that is spiritual, or a new creation, judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. The priest is the one that the Lord designated to search this matter out. If we notice here, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or a bright spot. Anytime they had something like this come in their skin, it had to be investigated. Was it leprosy? They would go to the priest. He would look at it. He would examine it. He would look to the Lord for discernment in this matter. He would be the one held responsible before the Lord to determine, yes, this is leprosy. No, this isn't leprosy. Let's read verse 3 here. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. The priest makes the judgment. The spiritual one, he can see, yes, this is leprosy. No, this isn't leprosy. He was a spiritual one. Now in verse 3, we have the marks for identifying of leprosy. Here, the first mark was the hair in the plague is turned white. This speaks of departing spiritual strength. Then the second mark that determines its leprosy, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh. We want to notice that it's in his flesh, or in his skin. The skin is where it was made manifest. I like the meaning of this word deeper. It says it in sight be deeper than the skin of the flesh. This deeper here, it means things are also said to be deep, which extend to a great length from the eye of the spectator. It's not just superficial. It goes down. It's deeper than just on the skin. And that's how they knew that it was leprosy. It went deeper than just skin level. In other words, sin in the flesh is far more than superficial. It comes from the depths of the heart. What is the attitude of the heart? It's far more than just skimming the top. It's what the sin that's being practiced is coming from the heart. Let's look at Jeremiah 17. And the priest could see this, just as the pastors are given discernment in the meeting. This priest had discernment. Jeremiah 17. And this is the heart of the old creation. The heart, in verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord knows it, he says in verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. The Lord knows what and how deep that sin goes. And if the Lord knows that one will repent, then he'll allow. I think of that in 1 Corinthians when that man that took his father's wife was turned over to Satan and brought repentance. Well, the Lord knows what to bring in our lives to bring us to repentance. Now, if both of these marks, the hair turned white and the plague that is deeper than the skin, were evident, The priest declared him unclean because it was proof positive that he had leprosy, and he had to leave the camp because the plague of leprosy defiled the camp. The congregation of the Lord was not to be contaminated by one who was leprous. We want to keep in mind that leprosy is contagious. Let's turn the admonition that Paul gave us in 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5 and the 22nd verse. Abstain from all appearance of evil. We are not to run the risk of being identified with someone who has spiritual leprosy. One who is walking in the flesh, just out and out, sin in practice. We are not to be identified with them because it's contagious. We could be found in that same position. Only by the grace of God, He keeps us. In Smith's Bible Dictionary, he had a very good note regarding leprosy as a type, being a type of sin. Some, as they look on infancy, we've all seen little babies, reject with horror the thought that sin exists within these little babies. But so might anyone say who looked upon the beautiful babe in the arms of a leprous mother. But time brings forth the fearful malady. Newborn babies of leprous parents are often as pretty and as healthy in appearance as any. But by and by its presence and workings become visible in some of the signs described in this 13th chapter of Leviticus. Let's look at, in regarding to that, every baby that's born into this world has sin in its heart. And if that sin is allowed to be manifest, we'll see it. Psalm 51 and the 5th verse. Psalm 51, and I would like to read the 5th verse. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We are all born in sin, and that's why we need a Savior. Let's turn to Job 14:4. Job 14:4. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Every baby that's born, that's been brought into this world, has sin in their heart. So when they get to the point that they understand that they need to accept Jesus as their Savior, they need to accept Jesus as their Savior. Back in Deuteronomy 24, in verse 9, the admonition was, remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam by the way, after that ye were come forth out of Egypt. This word remember here, it means be mindful, that is, retain in memory. Now this was written for our admonition. In 1 Corinthians 10:11, we've read this many times, these were written. Let's read that. 1 Corinthians 10 and the 11th verse. This was written down so that we will learn by it. Miriam learned. 1 Corinthians 10 and the 11th verse. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. This in Deuteronomy regarding this leprosy, we need to know this. It was written for us to learn by. Now, let's look in Numbers 12 and see, remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam. Well, he gave her leprosy. In Numbers 12, I would like to read verses 1 to 10. And it's sad to see the attitude that we see here. In verse 1 of chapter 12 of Numbers, and Miriam and Aaron, we know they were Moses' brother and sister, spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and to Aaron, and unto Miriam, come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth or face to face, even plainly or apparently, and not in dark speeches or riddles. And the form of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then ye were not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. God had to leave, had to depart, because he could not tolerate the sin, that the leprosy that Miriam was emitting. She was emitting sin. She was practicing sin. In verse 10, And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Miriam and Aaron had the opinion Moses marrying the Ethiopian was not right. They felt they had a coveted privilege with Moses and God because of their relationship with Moses. They were revealing. The more they talked, the more they were revealing what was down in their hearts. And God was not pleased. Down in verses 9 and 10, Miriam manifested outwardly in the skin, or she manifested it in her flesh, the attitude of what her heart was. She was rebellious. Miriam became leprosy. Envy had been allowed to take root, and she broke out in leprosy. Let's look at Galatians 5:19. We'll see that envy is one of the works of the flesh. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh, or the old creation, are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I told you before, as I have also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Sin in practice. Each one of those can be sin in practice. This is what happened to Miriam. She revealed what was in her heart, therefore it showed up in her skin. Back in Numbers 12, I would like to read from the 11th verse, Numbers 12 and verse 11. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly. Notice the repentance, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. This is El, the God of creation. And the Lord said unto Moses, If her father had but spit in her face, she should not be ashamed 7 days. Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again. And Miriam, in verse 15, was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. That camp stood still until that 7 days was over because of what she allowed to come forth from her heart. God had appointed Moses to lead that group to speak against him. Let's turn to Psalm 105:15. When God appoints someone in charge like he did Moses, when he appoints the pastors, when he appoints those to feed the sheep. In verse 15, Psalm 105:15, saying, Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Because when they do, they're going to answer to the Lord. Let's turn back to Deuteronomy 24. Let's read verses 10 to 13. When thou dost lend thy brother anything, thou shalt not go into his house to fetch his pledge. Thou shalt stand abroad, and the man to whom thou dost lend shall bring out the pledge abroad unto thee. And if the man be poor, thou shalt not sleep with his pledge. In any case, thou shalt deliver or return him the pledge again when the sun goeth down, that he may sleep in his own raiment and bless thee, and it shall be righteousness unto thee before the Lord thy God. In these verses, to me, it shows the difference between the new creation and the old creation. Moses is telling this second generation how God wants this nation, who is to be a holy nation before God. They weren't to be like Egypt from where they came. They were not to be like Canaan, where they were going to dwell. God wanted them to live as he wanted them to live, as a new creation. And as we read this, we can compare, what would the old creation do? What would the new creation do? Moses is instructing them in the ways of the new creation. We find this also over in Exodus 22, beginning in the 26th verse, Exodus 22, 26. If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by that the sun goeth down. For that is his covering only. It is his raiment for his skin, wherein shall he sleep. And it shall come to pass, when he crieth unto me, that I will hear, for I am gracious. This pledge here that we're reading of, when thou dost lend thy brother anything, thou shalt not go into his house to fetch his pledge. This is the security or the collateral that he is going to use or give to the one loaning him what he needs. The one loaning to his brother was not to enter the home of the one borrowing. This word abroad here, that in verse 11, thou shalt stand abroad, and the man to whom thou dost lend shall bring out the pledge abroad unto thee. This abroad here, it means separated by a wall, that is outside or outdoors. That one that lent his brother whatever could not go into his house unless he was invited. He could be invited or he could be excluded from inside of his house. But the one that was borrowing could choose whatever he wanted in the house to use as the security. The lender couldn't say, oh, I want to use that or whatever in the house, because it would show how poor those people were. The man that was borrowing would lend him as security whatever he deemed was proper. This ensured the privacy of the borrower's home and left the borrower to choose the article he wanted to as security. The Israelite had he could do that way. Then we read, and if the man be poor, thou shalt not sleep with his pledge. Now this poor man in the Hebrew, this poor means afflicted in circumstance. He was very poor. He had nothing but his raiment, what he covered up with every night as security. This raiment here was the outer garment with which at night a man or a woman wrapped themselves up in. That's what they used to wrap themselves up in. They were so poor. But then they would offer it as security, but the one that was using it as security would have to bring it back at night for them to be able to stay warm. Now, only the Lord would want that to happen. The old creation would say, you can freeze for all I care. I'm keeping what you gave me. But see those cool nights over there when the sun goes down and gets cool. They needed their raiment to keep them warm. Then it goes on to say, once he brings his raiment back when the sun goes down, and it shall be righteousness unto thee before the Lord thy God. Let's turn to Psalm 112. The Lord hears the cry of his own. Psalm 112, and we're going to begin with the fifth verse. And this good man here is the new creation. A good man, or the new creation, showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. Now let's look at verses 14 and 15. Again, we see the difference between the old creation and the new creation. Thou shalt not oppress an hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren or of thy strangers that are in thy land within thy gates. Whether they were of Israel or whether they weren't of Israel, their hired people were not to be oppressed. This word oppressed here is specifically the withholding of property rightly belonging to another. They were not to oppress them. What was due them, they were to pay. It also means to treat, they were not to oppress them or to treat them unjustly or violently or to defraud them. What would the old creation do? Oh, I'll pay you tomorrow. I'll keep your property until tomorrow. Well, tomorrow may never come. This hired servant, thou shalt not oppress an hired servant. A hired servant is one who works for wages. No doubt this man needed to make a living for his family. In verse 15, at his day, or at the end of his day, thou shalt give him his hire. He was to be paid his salary or his wages. Let's turn to Luke 10. Luke 10, and I want to read part of verse 7. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. That was what was right to do. You have a laborer, he labors for you, you pay him. Now let's look at Jeremiah 22. Jeremiah 22 and the 13th verse. Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness, and his chambers by wrong, that useth his neighbor's service without wages, and giveth him not for his work. In verse 15 it says, at the end of his day thou shalt give him his hire, neither shall the sun go down upon it. He was to be paid. The end of the day came. The hired servant was to be paid. It was very important that they were paid. Let's go to Leviticus 19. Again, the Lord speaking unto Moses in verse 1 of chapter 19, 1. In verse 13, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Again, that hired servant, or whom he hired, was to be paid that night before the sun went down. Let's turn to Malachi, the third chapter. Malachi 3, and I would like to read the fifth verse. And he is talking to Israel here. I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. The sun must not go down while the wages are not paid. The employer was not to be greedy. Well, the old creation would have been greedy. That's what the old creation is. And not carry out what was agreed upon when the person was hired. They no doubt agreed on what they would be paid. That man needed it. In the last part of this 15th verse, lest he cry, no, before that, and his, neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor and setteth his heart upon it. This means that the one hired needed his wages to buy food for his family at the end of the day. What else does one work for? We eat. If we eat, someone's got to work for that money to provide for those he is responsible for. He is poor and setteth his heart upon it. This man needed those wages. And then in the last part of it, lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be sin unto thee. Let's look at James 5. And this goes on today, lest he crieth, and I liked who hears it. James 5, and we'll begin with the first verse. Go to now, ye rich man, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and ye shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord, Lord of the Sabaoth. This is the Lord of hosts. This is Jehovah to Sabaoth, with special reference to warfare. These that have been honest to those who have been walking with the Lord, this is who the Lord is concerned with. Those that are walking with the Lord, that are walking before Him and allowing Him to work in their lives, when they're done against by evil men, those evil men are going to reap what they've sown. We read that in Galatians 6, 7 and 8. They're going to reap. They think they're being so smart and keeping back the wages in their greediness. But in the long run, they're going to reap what they've sown. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist